If you're unlucky, if you're very lucky, share your stories with us with Dr. Joseph Gallenberger when we come right back as we talk about his work, Liquid Luck, on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast with Joseph Gallenberger, Dr. PhD type. Joseph, before we go to the many calls, you've got a lot of stories of successful, lucky stories. Want to share a few more with us?
Sure. Well, after the Liquid Luck CD came out, as the stories came in, some that I liked were a 70-year-old woman had been looking for a four-leaf clover all her life, found one. Person's credit card company refunded charges, plus income for her business doubled in 2 weeks. Fella in a lab that I know is very dedicated, solved a hardware-software problem that had resisted the team's efforts for 2 years. We've had a person's house sell that had been on the market for months within one hour of listening. Interesting things like that.
They just keep coming, don't they?
Yeah.
What would cause it, we were talking about this before we got to the top of the hour, what would cause it not to work?
Mainly areas of what I would call fear, meaning if it was really strongly that a person felt that this was impossible. Also, of course, if a person is in real disrupted state, like severe depression, drug addiction, those kind of things, they'd be swimming upstream with that, and something like the Sync Creation Home Study course might be needed. But it's surprising how many times people who are kind of, quote, down and out have gotten the CD and the book and had things begin to happen quickly. One of the women reviewing the book before it was published works for Monroe Institute, and as she got to page 50, they got one of the biggest donations the Institute ever had before. So just reading the book and starting to get the feeling off of the book. It's called a handbook because it's pretty short. It's about 150 pages, kind of simple reading. And that and the CD both tend to make people feel good enough that good things can begin to happen pretty quickly.
With what you've been working on, what have you concluded? Are people born with luck, or do they develop it?
It's interesting, you know, if we go back to the happiness area, it looks like people are born with, quote, a range, and people's ranges might be different, but they're pretty wide for any individual, and you can learn to live on the top of your range. I think the same is true with luck, I don't know about genetically born, but you can be born into families where luck is celebrated or into a family where it would be suspect and discouraged. So by the time you're school age, you've probably been exposed to whether luck is a good or bad thing, whether it happens or not in terms of your belief. And then as an adult, you can expand that. But your culture that's around you might have, quite a bit to do with your initial feelings about it.
Okay, let's go to the phones now. Will you go to Chico in Oklahoma City on the wildcard line to get things going? Chico, go ahead.
All right. Thank you so much,
sure.
George and Mr. Gallenberger. It's a pleasure to be on the program with you today. I just wanted to ask, it's kind of a two-part question. I hear you say things like, be abundant, be grateful, project love. Would you say then, given that conversation, that positivity is the key to the whole thing? Would you go as far to say that? And part two of the question is, if I'm feeling down, maybe I'm having a bad day, how does stimulation work? And what I mean by that is, like, what if I decide to have a drink or smoke a joint or something to feel better, just kind of get in a better mood? Does that work? Does that alter the scenario in any way? And I'll take my answer off the air.
Okay, great. Thanks, Chico. First of all, being positive, I think, as you were saying earlier, Joseph, critical, isn't it?
Yes, being positive and feeling positive. I know some people that are very much, I don't know, you might call them martyrs. They're very positive to other people, very helpful and all, but you have to feel deserving yourself, positive towards yourself as well. So it's not only think positive, but feel positive about yourself and the world. So that's part one of that. And part two, things that can shift your mood. I would personally prefer people to go out in the beauty of nature, listen to some beautiful music, go to an art museum, whatever floats their boat, dance, things that are non-drug, because the drugs tend to maybe shift your mood a little bit, but also dull the amount of energy that you could have.
Is that why in Vegas they keep pouring for free?
I think that that's part of their plan. When we do our workshops, we have a no drinking policy. And I'm not against alcohol, but for those couple days, what we want people to be is in the highest energy possible, and that tends to not be there. When I see people drinking heavy at the table, not in the group, but strangers, you might see them do okay for a little while, but if you stick around, usually they give it back.
In your group, did you have any individual who was just simply outstanding?
I've had many. In 70 workshops, people that have amazed me. This one woman came from another country, very poor country, worked 3 jobs, living on just a bowl of rice a day for many years in Vegas to make a life for herself. And when she hits the slot machines, she's amazing. She'll hit Royal Flush and 4 of a kinds on the same machine in a half hour, things like that. The main thing I get impressed with is consistency. Many of the people have come a dozen to 2 dozen times with me, and I'll see them win time after time after time. And that's kind of fun to see that.
Let's go to some more calls. We've got a Kurt in Albany, Oregon. Welcome to the show, Kurt. Go ahead.
Hello.
Hi.
I had 2 questions. One, are you going to be in the Portland area? And two, Portland, Oregon. And second of all, if a person's had a lot of negative things being thrown at them for a long time, how soon could you think that could be turned around to positive?
Okay, I'm going to take, well, Portland right now is not on my plan. I go around the world, and I love invitations to new places. I was up at the, San Juan Islands recently. And so,
of course, with your CD, the CD can come to the people, right?
Yeah, and so I like that idea. Second, if things have been rough for a long time, it can be a challenge to reset that, but it can be done. Sometimes it's a lot quicker than you think, because the person may come in just with a sense of, oh, I'm going to try something new. I have some new hope. And wide open hope is a very powerful energy. So I would expect things to be quick and delighted if they are. And if not, doesn't mean it's not going to work. It just means it's going to take a little more time. And fortunately, we've got great tools with home study, sync creation, with liquid luck books that you can apply for a while and see, but usually we see change within weeks rather than months or years.
What are you really trying to convey to people about this? What's the bottom line here?
Well, to me, it's broader than the individual. My main message is that we're miracle workers, and we're living in a miraculous world, and that we can indeed shape our own personal futures and the world's welfare. If we clear our limiting beliefs, we raise our heart's energy, and focus it for healing and abundance. And I think that's really important now, George, because in the culture there's so much message of fear and lack. And if we give in to that, in this knowledge that I have, we'll create more lack, more fear-producing situations. So I want people to see, get a real strong message how important our spiritual side is to actually creating a physical world that's abundant and compassionate, and we're powerful enough to do that.
Is the ability to manifest the same as creating your own luck?
I would put those two very similar, yes. I'm just going to answer that simple. I'd say sure.
All right. Let's go to Kevin in Austin, Texas. Hey, Kevin, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Thank you for having my call.
Sure thing.
And I'd just like to ask, when are you coming back to Austin, Texas? I didn't get to see you the last time.
We may be coming to Austin this year. We may be coming to Austin. I hope so. I love that city.
Great. I'm looking forward to it because I had to work last time. I'd just like to ask the doctor, on many occasions in my life, I would have a good run of luck. I mean, it'll go really good, and then all of a sudden it just stops. And then you start to wonder, is it ever going to happen again? And then all of a sudden it'll start up again. And I don't understand why that happens, but it'll be like up and down. And I've noticed that when I've had my best luck, when a winning streak starts a lot of the time, I'll be really, really tired. And whenever the good luck starts hitting again, it just re-energizes me. And I just want to say to everybody out there, winning never gets old. And I'll listen to your comments off the air. Thank you.
Winning never gets old. I believe that, Joseph.
No, it's infectious. It's light. You know, if I look at somebody like Tiger Woods, you know, he's a master golfer. He still gets pleasure out of that really great shot. And what I find after doing this for two decades is when it's particularly masterful for me, it's a thrill. I was in Vegas after my brother John's death. He died of an illness in March. And it was the day after the funeral, and I was a little concerned how well I would do as a group leader. And the group went really well, so I was feeling good about that. Sat at a slot machine that night and thought of this idea of abundance waterfall just flowing around me, and immediately hit a royal flush for $4,000. I went then to another machine, and on the third pull, hit its jackpot. On the fifth pull, hit that same jackpot again. Went to bed and woke up the next morning, first machine, hit another jackpot. And when I left, I was feeling pretty good. You know, that it's really nice to win. And when you win, it inspires other people. They can say, oh, that couldn't be me. But they have the option to say, let's see what that person's doing. Let me imitate it. Maybe it'll happen to me. On this fellow's comment, I'd like to go back. Sometimes we have a set point. We think we're an 80s golfer. It can be hard to then become a 70 golfer. So people, when good things happen, inside they may say, okay, that's enough. You know, I don't want the other shoe to fall, or I don't want too much. And then it'll dampen for a while. And when they feel ready, some more luck can come to them.
What's the difference between synchronicity and serendipity? And, of course, I don't believe in coincidences, but synchronicity and serendipity.
Yes. So one of the things we do in the liquid luck formation and the meditation is open people up to the synchronicity, serendipity. Synchronicity is this idea of interesting coincidences, quote, happening, that things seem to be linked by meaning instead of just cause and effect. Example, I was thinking about whether I should date my beautiful soulmate wife, and I'm on a country road in North Carolina, and I get the urge to turn right. I turn right. She's in Minnesota, and the next car I come across has a Minnesota license plate in North Carolina. That would be a synchronicity or a sign that maybe I should give her a call. Serendipity means the talent to see synchronicities and then take advantage of them. They actually comes from a Persian fairy tale, Three Princes of Serendip, where the heroes were making fortuitous discoveries by accident and then using them. So we use serendipity like when somebody is going for one thing in science and they discover, quote, penicillin by accident. But the person has to see it, be aware of it, and take advantage of it. So when you move into this open-hearted, high-energy way of living, it seems to be that much more serendipity and synchronicity begins to happen around people, which is really terrific.
We go next to Woodbridge, Virginia. Shane's turn on Coast to Coast. Shane, good to have you with us. Go ahead. Hello, Shane.
Hey, what's going on, Nick? Can you hear me, George?
Yep, loud and clear.
Hey, how's it going, George?
Good. Thank you.
Hey, I didn't want to be too long, but I had two questions.
All right.
One was the I am that I am meditation. I didn't hear the beginning of the conversation, so I don't know if you guys covered that. But I would like you to reference that after I make my next statement. I heard him talking about finding four-leaf clovers, somebody who had finally found one after a long time. My dad always raised us, I'm Irish, so he always raised us to look for four-leaf clovers.
Uh-huh.
I found hundreds over my lifetime. I find them all the time. I don't know what that means about me or not, But I'd like your guest to comment on that, and also on the I Am That I Am meditation, which was going to be my original question until I heard him speak about
sure.
the four-leaf clovers.
And by the way, have you been lucky finding all these four-leaf clovers?
I feel like I'm lucky with the friends that I have, and just with being very happy with life.
Good for you.
I try to do that, so I don't know. Yeah, I'd say yeah.
All right. Go ahead, Joseph.
The clovers are interesting because some people can look forever and not find one. There's the woman I admire a lot. She's also a trainer at Monroe Institute. She finds five- and six-leaf clovers all the time. It can be one of those synchronicities or signs that you're on target, you're in the flow. You need to be relaxed enough to follow your intuition, find your perception. The I Am meditation, I'm not sure what you're referring to. We have not talked about it yet. But definitely the meditations we do are designed to keep get people very connected directly to Source, however they define that. So if they want to use the I Am That I Am as a model for that, that's fine for me.
Well, indeed it is. Joseph, what do you recommend for people who want to begin to simply change their luck? Just merely listen to the CD, or there's much more than that?
That's a great place to start. The Liquid Luck CD is available on my website. They can get to it by liquidluckbook.com. And if they want to go a little further, the book and CD together. The CD will give them a direct experience, and the book will help them understand why and give further exercises to deepen that, so it becomes kind of a lifelong yoga to be in these positive energies. That's a great place to start. That's simple, under $30. If they want to go deeper, there's plenty of other things on the website that are could take the person deeper than that. But a good place to start would be the Liquid Luck CD and book.
Well, sure would. How about your website?
Yes, the website, liquidluckbook.com, will take you there. Also, Sync, S-Y-N-C, Creation, C-R-E-A-T-I-O-N, .com, both are listed on your website, will be there. The book's available, of course, on Amazon as well, and Kindle and Nook and that kind of thing.
Of everything that you have done to date, psychokinesis, luck, what for you has been the most satisfying, Joseph?
Actually, applying these energies to healing for people, both of body issues as well as mental or psychological, spiritual issues, probably is the most satisfying. I love to be creative. I've created all these CDs and books, so that's another area of great satisfaction to me, because when I apply these principles, projects just go amazingly. So I might wanted to do a CD. I make one call. I find out a great place that has a sound lab. He refers me to the CD manufacturer. Everything happens, and it's done in 2 weeks. And the CD is made with one take, with no revisions. I love when things go smoothly like that. I also see, I'm very impressed to apply these when things in life are rough. I mentioned the death of my brother recently.
Yeah, that was sad. All right, stay with us. We're going to talk more with you, Joseph, and take some phone calls. Beyond Belief, that's our television program, and you can watch it for free for, a number of weeks. Just take advantage of it by going to the website, beyondbelief.com. You can also look at as many programs as you want to during that time period. So go ahead and sign up for it, www.beyondbelief.com. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. This is our final half hour with Dr. Joseph Gallenberger, and your phone calls as well, as we talk about his work, Liquid Luck, the Good Fortune Handbook, how to change things in your life. And I would guess, Joseph, it's much more than just money. Money's not a barometer of happiness, but it could be everything, a new job, a relationship, things of substance, wouldn't you say?
Definitely. Money is wonderful, and you got to have a minimum amount to be comfortable, but the other things you mentioned are there that are very important. And I'd like to mention, you know, we talked about the power of love in this, self-love, love of others. I've met many people who were successful financially, who might have got it by climbing on the back of others, if you will. And if you look at their life, they're not abundant in some ways. The folks that I've met that are abundant in relationships, health, community, money, and everything, creative work, I've never met one that was not very loving.
Well, you know, let me say this, though. I've met people who are very successful financially, some of whom aren't really happy people.
Yes.
They're not good in relationships.
Right.
They're just not happy people. They're control freaks. I mean, you name it, they do it. But they're very, very wealthy. So would one say that's luck?
Again, I think you can get there different ways. If you make financial either a sign of power, or you never feel you have enough, you can put lots of your life energy there, almost be like Midas, you know, all of energy goes that way. And you might create a lot of money. But as you noticed, it usually comes with unhappiness. If you want to have a balanced life and really be abundant and be lucky, you know, at the end of life, people feel lucky to have friends, lucky to have had the experiences they've had helping others. Those kind of things become more important than money. So in our, as you just mentioned, our definition of true abundance, which includes not only money, but all these other things, then you're going to need to have some balance in your life besides just going after the buck.
You know that old song about if you want to be happy for the rest of your life?
Yes, I remember that one.
It says go out and get yourself an ugly wife.
Yes.
Would that make you happy?
That can, but I've met many beautiful women that are beautiful inside and out.
That is the key.
Yes.
That is the key. And honestly, inside is more important, I think.
Yes.
Let's go to AJ in Vancouver, British Columbia, on the international line. Hello, AJ.
Hi. I just want to start off by saying thank you for having your program. I listen to it every night.
Well, thank you for listening.
Though it is, it's turned me into a night owl again. Now, throughout the years, I've had good luck. I used to have the Midas touch, and since about 2007, it's almost like somebody took my luck away.
The Midas touch is gone, huh?
It's gone. It's like I stay so positive, and you know, I'm considerate. I do everything I should.
Doctor, what is she doing wrong?
Yeah.
Don't know yet. That's not enough information. But what I'd say is I've worked with people in that situation. I'm thinking of one fellow who's an entrepreneur. He loved creating businesses because mainly it put other people to work. And he liked the creative ideas. And he went along for a decade or two doing that. And all of a sudden it just all faded away.
That would be me.
He then got his mojo back. He used the Sync Creation Home Study course to do it. So he's been a real advocate of me on that. I look back to 2007 and see, you know, if there was something that was a tipping point in health, relationships, something. But it would probably take some individual time soul searching to figure out what went on. In any event, even if you couldn't figure out what went on, I would start doing some exercises to clear the bad taste of failure, if you will, and doubts that produces so that you can really start fresh. Sometimes we end up with kind of more of a stiff upper lip kind of happiness, you know. I'm going to stay positive, darn it, no matter how I feel. I don't know if that's happening for you, but we want you to get back to, you know, genuine, exuberant joy. And
now, what about a healing? Like, I heard you mention something about healing.
Yeah.
One of my bad luck was I fell down a set of stairs and broke my back. This was 2.5 years ago. It was a clean break.
But it was a break.
Nerve damage.
Yeah.
So I was lucky that
I fractured
my
insult to the body. And any fall can make us feel very shaky. I fell and broke my leg on ice a few years ago, and it makes you feel old and stupid and a number of things potentially, though it could happen to anyone. That's the kind of thing that can break your energy.
My energy was broken before that.
Yeah, the energy, you know, I'd say it might be a good thing to work with somebody to do some healing. Both if physically it feels good, look at the psychological from that, and it might help get you back on track.
Do you know anybody in the Vancouver, B.C. area?
Email me privately. I got my email on my website, and I will give that some thought. Don't know anybody right offhand, but I love Vancouver, and I know a lot of people in that area. So just do that, and I'll give it some thought. If I can come up with somebody, I'll sure let you know.
We may do an event in Vancouver sometime this year, Joseph, and maybe I can get the producers to get you up there as a guest.
That'd be fun.
So we could do two birds at one stone there, as we say.
Yeah.
There may be a casino there. I may want to go there with you.
Oh, it's one of the most beautiful cities that I've ever been to. So even without a casino, I'd be happy.
So if a guy goes into a casino and goes, I'm not going to win, chances are he won't, right?
Correct. Yep.
Hmm.
I had my father would walk in feeling like he'd win, and it was almost like picking grapes. He'd go down a row of slot machines, win, win, win. I had another relative who just felt he wouldn't, and boy, he didn't.
Let's go to Sacramento now in California. Hunter's with us now. Hello, Hunter. Good morning.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, Hunter. Thank you. Go ahead.
I was wondering about, I got two questions.
All right.
Will you be coming to Myrtle Beach, Sacramento? Because I'm from Myrtle Beach, Sacramento, not Sacramento, California.
You can ever go down to Myrtle Beach?
I was there a few months ago for another conference with a wonderful speaker. And, again, I tend to go places with somebody sponsoring me. So if you have interest in that, email me, and we might be able to put something together.
All right.
I want to talk about, like, relationship. I was dating a girl when I was in seventh grade, and, I felt happy. I was doing well in sports, classes and everything. I didn't have to study. I was making straight A's, and then we split apart, and I just started failing and everything. And
really, you let that affect you that much, Hunter?
Yes, it really hurt me.
All right, Joseph, let's talk a little bit about this. Here he was, seventh grade, a young pup, and he's doing well. He's acing his classes. He's got a little girlfriend. And then that falls apart, and it sounds like he's in his 20s now. Things aren't going too well. What's happening?
Well, I got some good news for you. They just saw a study today saying if you fall in love early in your life like that, really hard, it is an indication that for your whole life you'll have an easier time with relationships in terms of being loving in them. So it's good to fall in love.
Really? Even if they fall apart at that age?
Well, they usually do, you know?
Yeah.
But it
true.
Can put a person in the tailspin. The example I sometimes use would be, say, I was in seventh grade. I wanted to go out with a girl, and she rejected me. Then the next time I ask somebody out, I'm going to have a confidence problem. And I might say something like, you wouldn't want to go out with me, would you? Get a rejection. Now I got fact that people don't like me. And I can build and build on that. So it can take a little bit of energy work to turn it around. If you feel so unlucky in relationship, that again can then spill over into not lucky on the test or, in work and other things. And just like a positive cycle can be there, can get to be a negative cycle.
When I was in second grade, I really was head over heels for a girl. Second grade.
Yeah.
But she didn't want anything to do with me. And then years later in high school, she kept chasing me. And guess what? I didn't want anything to do with her.
At that point, the ship had sailed, huh?
Maybe I was lucky.
Yeah.
You never know. Let's go. Hunter, good luck to you. Let's go to Georgia in Tucson. Welcome to the show, Georgia.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello. I so love your show. I listen to it every night.
Oh, thank you.
I have a miraculous casino story to tell you. It was the year 2001, and my husband and I were going out for New Year's Eve. And halfway to the casino, I realized that I had switched purses, and I didn't have my ID with me.
Uh-oh.
So, yeah, we get into the casino, and there's a thousands of people. It was so crowded, you couldn't even walk. And there was a huge gold roll drum, and everyone was filling out entry slips.
And you just drop them in, right?
Right. And my husband said, let's do it. And I said, okay. I forgot I didn't have my ID. So 12 o'clock, they start calling names, or right before 12 o'clock, and they called my name, Georgia Smith. So I thought, oh, wow, I won. And I run up there, and I realize I don't have my ID. I'm not going to get this. And everybody's congratulating and patting me on the back on the way up there. And I said, I don't have my ID. And she said, well, you have 5 minutes to get it, and that's impossible.
There's no way, right?
Right. So I go back to my husband. I'm so dejected, and I thought, oh, I just want to go home. I couldn't believe how stupid I was not to bring my ID. And he said, well, he said, let me finish on this machine. I'm winning. So I sat there for about 5 minutes. Guess what name they called next?
His.
My husband's name. They called next.
That's amazing.
I couldn't believe it.
What was the prize? I'm curious.
$2,001.
How about that?
It was the year of the 2001, and I told him, I said, there's no way that I'm walking up there with you to get that prize. Everyone's going to think it's like, you know, like it was.
So did they call him because you were ineligible?
No, they rolled the drum again, and they pulled his name out. They had no idea.
The universe must have really wanted to give you a gift that night.
In theory, then, if you had had your ID, you both would have won, right?
We both would have won anyway.
Wow.
I said, half that money is mine because you wouldn't have got it if I didn't have my ID.
That's amazing. I love that story.
That was amazing. It was, like, miraculous. I just, we couldn't believe it. It was meant to be.
I'm glad you had that experience.
It was meant to be.
Yeah.
Are you still doing work in the psychokinesis field in terms of directly?
Yes. Monroe Institute, which we've mentioned, I developed their Manifestation Creation Squared program there that does psychokinesis. Well, they've been starting to work with a major university lab, and I went up and was a subject there a couple of months ago, and they analyze your EEG, you know, put 128 leads on your head, and at the same time have you do psychokinesis tasks, because they're looking for seeing the changes in the brain when you're effective. And I know the data is just starting to be analyzed, but I was able, and again in the lab, to show the psychokinesis at a significant level scientifically. And so that was a lot of fun to do. So I still participate there. There's a group that want me to see if I can change the spin of electron. That's going to occur over in Germany. Still a very interesting area to me.
If you change the spin of an electron, what happens?
Well, you reverse. I don't know as much as I should about it yet.
Don't blow us up or anything, Joseph.
No, basically you'd be the spin changes by itself, I guess. What you want to do is change it by will, and they can measure that. So they're putting together kind of a sophisticated experiment to try that.
Let's go to Indianapolis. Brian's turn on Coast to Coast. Welcome to the show, Brian. Go ahead.
Hey, George, Joseph, Happy New Year.
You too, Brian.
Happy New Year.
Hey, listen, I have a question about the karma. Karma and love. Do you think they run like parallel to each other? Like, you know, you give out bad karma, you get bad luck. If you give out good karma, or you have good karma, you get good luck. And what do you think about the statement, you get from the world what you give from the world?
I think I don't know if that's karma in the mystical sense, but what goes around tends to come around. If you treat people well, you often see very quick and powerful results. The key to that is to be genuine. So say I go up to a ticket agent, want a ticket in first class or an upgrade to first class, and I try to manipulate by being smiley and happy and, you know, glad handing, not likely to get it. But if I was...
Oh, you mean like a politician?
Yeah, but if I was generally concerned about how that ticket agent was doing that day, saw them in their highest and finest, treated them with dignity, it's likely, and this has happened to me, that they call me up without me even asking and saying, no, there's nobody in first class, there has to be one, it might as well be you. But it comes from a place of genuine care for that person.
My, well, I guess I'm not going to say who it is, but this person will go up to somebody at a supermarket and will buy their groceries for them.
Yeah.
Just out of the blue. He just randomly picks somebody. And first of all, I think he's insane when he comes up to them, right? You know, hi, how are you? I'd like to buy your grocery. Whoa, get away from me. But that's what he does. And I bet it comes back to him by five.
So powerful. There was YouTube's got a video where this guy gives out $1,000 at Christmas. This year he gave it to police officers to give out. And the police stop you think you're going to get a ticket. And they picked cars that were all, you know, bondoed and stuff. And it's amazing how many people burst into tears just for that $100 making such a difference in their lives.
Oh, my gosh, it sure does.
Yeah.
It sure does. And,
yeah.
You know, a lot of people out there that are in need, Joseph.
Yes.
They need their luck changed.
Yes.
Your other book is called Inner Vegas, which I believe is the first work you did when you did this testing, isn't it?
Yes, Inner Vegas, Creating Miracles, Abundance, and Health was the first one. And it goes through, you know, that history of learning about PK, going to Vegas and with the groups, and then going up to Monroe and developing MC Squared, the home study course in creation. And so it's an interesting read, too, for people, and available on Amazon on my website as well.
What's the big message you would like people to take away from this program, from your work?
I like the Afghan proverb, if luck is with thee, why hurry? If luck is against thee, why hurry? And I hope everybody in listening enjoys a really lucky 2015, because one person's luck is infectious, and we can all take another big positive step toward creating the kind of heaven on earth that we know is possible and really that we deserve.
Share the luck, and it comes back to you by 5 to 10 times.
So elevate yourself in your emotions and feelings, and bring everybody along with you that you can by inspiring them with your good mood and lovingness, and the world will be a better place in 2015.
You got it. Thank you so much, Joseph. Always a pleasure having you on the program. When we come back, we're going to talk about Generation Y. People born between the 1980s and the early 2000s. And here's our final emerging artist, P.B. Ploy. The song is Rewritten from Rochester, New York.